Support for GLT comes from Bloomington Public Library, now offering a local podcast, Shelf Understanding. Past topics include the tiny house movement, virtual reality, an interview with author Eric Larson, and more. Shelf Understanding is available at bloomingtonlibrary.org, through iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is 89.1 GLT and WGLT.org.
Some bugs in the garden can be a big help. Hello, all you pollinators. But what about the bugs that really bug us and do more harm than good? I'm Laura Kennedy, and this is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice from our expert in the field. From the Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences and curator of the Fell Arboretum, it's Patrick Murphy. Hello, Murph.
Hello, Laura.
Today on GLT's Grow, we have a question from Gabrielle in Nine Mile Falls, Washington, and she's talking about bugs. And so we're going to break it into two bits here. She has raised garden beds, and she's growing pumpkins. And in the last couple of years, she's been invaded by squash bugs. Now, she wants to get rid of them, but she doesn't want to spend 2 hours in her yard every day killing the bugs and the eggs by hand. She doesn't want to use insecticides. So what can Gabrielle do, Murph?
It's not that bad of a dilemma, and there's a couple of other opportunities in the question to address some related topics. But the squash bug is one of, say, three bugs that are common with pumpkins and squash and zucchini and
lives up to its name.
That gang, yeah. And the squash bug is sometimes easily confused with the brown marmorated stink bug. And they like the squash family, but they're more like the zucchinis and stuff like that. But the squash bug and the stink bug look a lot alike. And there's also a squash vine borer. So you see it in a moth, or you see it in this kind of pale white caterpillar. And if it's for sure the squash bug, that's a good thing, because there's one easy trick, and it is kind of a trick that you can use to get rid of them, and that is to leave some strips of wood, like boards, in the rows between your squash, because that's where the squash bugs will hide during the day.
Okay.
They only come out to do their stuff at night. They lay their eggs and destroy your squash at
night.
They're
like vampires.
Yeah. And the juvenile squash bugs, they're gray and flat, so they don't even entirely resemble their adult form. So sometimes they get overlooked. And then they leave these little gross science, to me, they're kind of gross looking science fiction looking eggs that are reddish brown in color. They leave them on the bottom side of the leaves. Those, the only way to get rid of those is to, like, you know, spray some neem oil. Neem oil is an extract from a plant, from a neem tree. So it's organic. It's a plant extract. So it's not really a pesticide per se, as you're trying to avoid. So these squash bugs live in the leaves and the spent stuff that fall on the ground. So if you haven't done some good garden hygiene, you're giving them a place to hide. But here's the thing with leaving these little strips of wood. That's where they're at. So you come out and you stamp up and down on that wood and smash them.
Oh, my
God.
And just
leave the board there. Just leave them.
You go crunch, them, crunch, crunch, crunch.
Leave them to become part of the soil. Yeah,
oh, my God.
And you repeat. You know, because you come out and visit the garden, and if that's all you got to do, that's a great way to control the squash bug.
So you squash the squash bug.
Literally.
Literally. Is there anything at all that one would spray for squash bugs?
We mentioned the neem oil.
Right.
And that comes from Azadirachta indica is a tree, and they squeeze the pulp, and they get this oil out of it, and it has a funny smell, and it's really effective on lots of different stuff, but it requires multiple applications.
What about a BT product?
I thought about the BT and the milky spore. They would work, but, you know, they build up in the soil. And so you would have to have the plants in the same soil for 2 to 3 years, and sometimes that's a challenge in the garden. And sometimes it's a challenge to get it to stay in the soil and raised beds, too.
You're listening to GLT's Grow, our weekly gardening show for those who like to get their hands dirty. This week, we're dealing with bugs. Gabrielle in Nine Mile Falls, Washington, has questions. Her first question was about the squash bugs, but then she also has a question about tiny black ants that magically appear in her yard. She says they appear to do no harm, but she wants to know where they come from, what do they do, and where do they go? And if she's anything like me, she wants to get rid of them.
Yeah, and, you know, ants are an important part of the soil farming process.
Really?
And they carry lots of stuff. And, you know, think about it. Have you ever seen the ants overtake a caterpillar that was having a bad day?
Oh, it would have a really bad day then.
I know. Well, they scatter the caterpillar all over the place, and they become soil forming parts. And that's a naturally occurring process. So, you know, if they're not doing any damage and they're not taking the car for a drive at night when you're sleeping and nothing bad's happening, I think that they're a necessary part of the soil insects.
Are they just live in the soil in the winter and then emerge in the spring?
They could live in the soil. They could also be living inside of wood that's in contact with the ground.
Maybe the wood that you're squashing the bugs.
Yeah, or even the wood that's making up your raised bed, so they can live in this little, you know, condominium complex right between the soil and the wood.
Oh.
You know, so I've seen that before. You take the raised bed apart, or you need to relocate it or whatever, and there's like a whole other world living right between the soil and the wooden edge of your raised planter. And they're a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they're not biting you, they're not stinging anybody, they're not ravaging anything, I think that they're just some good company in the garden.
And they're helping the soil.
They're making soil.
Yeah.
They're adding to it all the time. And they're doing a lot of the work that the other insects won't do. You know, and they're tearing up stuff and scattering it all over the place. And, yeah, breaking big stuff into little stuff so that decomposition can be facilitated.
Okay, Gabrielle, be glad you don't have to pay your black ants. Thank you so much for your great questions here on GLT's Grow. Now, I've got a question myself. It's springtime, but you wouldn't know it here in Illinois because it's cold.
Right.
And it's just been cold and cold, and we keep getting snow, and it's April, and it's a little distressing, and I look out at my daffodils, and I think, oh, you poor babies, you know, but I'm just worried. You know, is there anything we need to be concerned about with this really cold weather, Murph?
I don't think so. I think that this is a pattern that's occurred many times. My own personal memories of running a 5K on a Saturday during Easter weekend, just east of this area, while back. I mean, maybe you could look at it this way, too. These late season cold temperatures are kind of why we have daffodils. You know, I see as the daffodils kind of came up. Upon us, and a plant that's been able to adapt to this cold weather, and the pansies and stuff like that. And, you know, even though it's been mild with the little snow and weather temperatures in there, at least in central Illinois, from Champaign to Peoria, I have seen no foliar buds open yet, but I have noticed lots of trees, their buds either changing color or swelling. They grow in size as they fill up with water. That hasn't been interrupted.
So we don't have to worry about those buds being harmed by the cold temperatures?
I think that it would have to be cold for an extended period of time, not just a flash here or there of some cold weather.
So if we had 20 degree temperatures for 10 days, that would be concerning.
I think that might be a problem. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, and you also think about some of the buds and the seeds that are in contact with the ground. The thawing and freezing, you know, warming and cooling, that helps break that case on the outside of the bud. It helps break the coat on the seed so it can germinate. So I think it's a naturally occurring scenario, and it proves how short our memories can be.
Yes, it does. Yeah. And it gives us something else to complain about. Let's just complain about the weather. It's the one thing we all have in common.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thanks for that, Murph. Next week coming up on GLT's Grow, it's some fresh ideas for using native plants. And we would love your gardening questions as well. If you have a problem you'd like Murph to take on, we'd be so happy to hear from you. Fill in the form on our website and send it along to us. And feel free to send a photo, too. That's WGLT.org/grow.